Good to see you, and good to see you all. We were trying to sing that song coming over here. I said, Mom, what is that song? This is just what heaven means to me. The brother just sang that there a while ago. I had a humming at it because we were coming up the highway, and I couldn't. Anyway, all right. Thank you. I was going to say something. I was digging through. This is something the Lord has just put on my heart the other day. I said I have to be real careful because I listen to your pastor all the time, and I'll preach the same message he preached to you all about a year ago or something. That one about, I've told you this before, but that one about how God prepared Adam for a wife. Now, I've preached that thing, I'll be honest with you, all over the country. So if you get somebody say, that's listening to the brother preach, and they say, I heard Brother McFadden preach that here a while back. Well, I got it from the brother right here. It was such a help to me. I thought, man, if anything helps me this much, I want to pass it on. All right. Thank God. So if you got your Bible, turn with us now. That shouldn't even be a word if you have a Bible. You need to bring that thing. Bring the Bible every time. Keep your book handy. Keep your book handy. Turn your Bible now this evening to John chapter 4, and y'all know about this portion of Scripture, about the woman of Samaria, and the Lord, beginning here, remember that in the woman said, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet, verse 20, and then goes, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where that men ought to worship. Notice that word worshiped. I'm going to preach a whole message, nothing on that. But I was reading something here a while back. I probably told Pastor, he's probably already read it too, because he reads some of the same books that I read, besides the Bible. And I read the Bible, but one of my favorites is R.A. Torrey. And R.A. Torrey said something here the other day, or A.W. Not Torrey. A.W. Tozer, not Torrey, but so you have to kind of scratch through Tory stuff, because he got some pretty good stuff, but he back there in his years he got messed up and got in the RV and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, we're out of that. and about worship. And A.W. Tozer said that we need to teach people to worship before we teach them to work. Now that's when you have to think that thing too. But once you think it through, you say, he's got it. There it is, right there. Now, when you stand in awe at a holy God and his righteousness, his perfection, and all about him, then it helps you to worship. But then if you're worshiping God, it's easy to say, man, it's a great thing to be born again. It really is. You see what I'm talking about? The more that we worship him and understand more and more and more about him, the more we can just kind of stand in awe with the mouth open. And that's what it is. If you look in the Bible, worshiping ain't, tearing up the aisle and running down this road, making a loop around here and sliding into base, as they call it. That's not worship. That's praise. Now, if you want to do that, you can do it. That's all right. If you do it in the spirit, let it rip, but I probably won't follow you. But in the worship, if you remember Nehemiah, remember Gideon over there? And you all heard all this. You've heard it all before. Now, just repeating something you already heard. You remember Gideon over there, and he worshipped him there. When that biscuit rolled down into that, Midianites' camp, and God showed him what was going to happen, he worshipped him there. And I've said before, you've heard it many times, he didn't just go to glory to God, hallelujah. Well, they'd have had his head just like that, because he's right there by the camp. And but he worshipped him. That was a heart thing. You got it? You understand what I mean? Abraham, there on the mount, when he drew that knife back and he saw that ram, and the Lord stopped him because he was going to draw his knife back to offer his son Isaac. Remember that? And he drew that knife back, and the Lord God stopped him, and he saw that ram caught by his horns there in that thicket. However, and the Bible said he worshipped him. Abraham worshipped him. You see what I mean? Now, he might have hollered a hoop or two, right? I don't know, but I'm telling you, he worshipped him. That was an awe. My, what a God you and I serve. And so now he was talking about worship. We get down here to something I want to talk about in just a few minutes. And in the verse, in that verse 23, go right on down, it says, and Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know that we worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now in verse 23 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now to get this last part. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now that, like I said, I've been thinking on these things, so I'm just going to give you what I'm thinking. I ain't ever preached this before. And this is something that's helped me as I've studied on this subject. That our great God in heaven, one who could speak the world dead into existence, got that sun here now. It's made its southerly pass all the way down, right? And then this here about a few days ago or a week so back, it started this journey coming back up. You can tell by the way the sun shines in your windows if you live like Mom and I do. Because our window out of there where we spend a lot of our time, and that's the supper table. But anyway, and we call it breakfast table. And the breakfast table comes up, and we look right out the side there, and there's that sun coming up. Well, there for a while, we had to keep them shades pulled because it showed right in her face. Then it went to the south. You talk about a God who spoke that into existence. What a God. Now, just consider him for a while. Think about that. Think about he made the sun and the heat off of that thing keep you warm out there, and it really brings out the sweat in the summertime. What a God you and I have. But yet, now think about this just a minute. Look at that little phrase there. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He wants our worship. He wants our fellowship. Yes. Now, that blows my mind. I'll be honest with you. I've been thinking about that now for weeks and weeks. And that the Lord God really desires our fellowship. Look how it's doing it here. And the verse is wide open to you and me right here. Look how this verse is wide open. Now watch. I'll read it again. For the Father seeketh when? Right now. Seeketh such to worship him. God wants us to worship him. He's seeking such to worship him. Whosoever will may come. As the invitation given, you know, to us to come to the Lord Jesus Christ when we're back there in sin and lost, he invited us to come. It's not his will that any perish, but all should come to repentance. That our great God desires fellowship with us blows my mind. It just don't register. I'm honest with you. And the more that I see that, the more that I stand in awe, and the more that I worship him. See what I'm talking? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Well, let me just for another one here, and you've heard this over and over and over and over, and it won't hurt to repeat it. It's in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. You know, Adam and Eve sin. Now, watch what the Lord does here. The Bible says in verse 7, and the eyes of them were open. That's talking about Adam and Eve there, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made them aprons. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? To me, if you want to know the truth, that's a heartbreaking verse right there. That God made man. He made man and the woman. You know why he made them for? You said, well, what did he make them for? Well, let's go to the Bible and find out. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Look at verse 11. 4:11. And here's the praise going up from the 24 elders. Verse 10, verse 11. In chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, it says this. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. God wants us to bring pleasure to the Lord. Amen. Now, when you consider this, if you don't get anything else about everything we said tonight, if you'll get this, I believe it'll help you. It's helping me. And that is that the God, our Creator, who sent His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross, actually wants to fellowship with us. That's the truth, brother. What else can you say but amazing? Amazing. In the book of Ephesians, go over that. We'll just kind of, this kind of be a Bible study, I guess. Because like I said, I ain't never brought this before anywhere that I remember. And because I just got some notes wrote down here that I got the other day when I was been studying on this. And I'd even added some today that I hadn't even thought of before. But anyway, you look in your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at this. All right. In verse, we always want to read this one, of chapter 5, verse 22. Wives. Hey, I'm telling you, me and we are honchos, amen. Wives, submit yourselves into your own husbands as unto the Lord. But if you're going to get looking at it just a little bit further, you're going to find out right at it ain't about two or three verses. No wonder a woman, I know it. But a woman don't have any problem submitting herself to a loving husband. So that's where we come in. And that is to love our wives like Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm getting ahead of myself. But just go ahead and read that. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he's the Savior of the body. All right, you say, what does that mean? Well, if you liken it to myself and I've got a gun in the car. And you say, what if you get stopped on the highway? I'm going to put that thing in my hand. Not from the deputy or sheriff. I was coming up to Mississippi one time, and this car went by me real fast, and they were loaded down with folks. I'm not getting into the race. And I got up the road there, and man, they'd blocked that road off way back there in the backside of nowhere. I said, what in the world am I going to do? And I had that old, I think I had at that time, my 62 Chevy. And the Lord just kind of nudged me, said, put her on the floor, son. And man, I put that thing on the floor. I didn't have a gun back then. And I wouldn't want to stop for a shootout unless it was an absolute dire necessity. You know, understand? Do you understand what I mean? All right, now look at that, what this book right here. The Bible says Christ is the head of the church, even as, and he is the Savior, thank God for that, of the body. Now, and so as it goes on, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto her husband everything. Husband, now here's the big one. Love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at that. Did you see what it's saying here? Wife, it's talking about the church, the being the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want fellowship with your wife? Now think about that a minute. You say, this any white woman will do? That's the way it is today out here in this world. And it's a nut farm. And, boy, I've been studying that stuff that you get me, brother, over there. Woo-wee, brother, that's some good stuff there. But anyway, we're living in a time where it's so-called free love. When it ain't free love, it's free lust. And the marriage is honorable and all, the Bible said, but and the bed is undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. But the problem of it is the man's not taking his place, the woman's not taking her place, so we're in trouble. Heap of trouble. And so, but God will take his place, and he's taken his place, and he sent his son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. He was buried and rose again the third day. Now then, my dear friend, he wants fellowship with us. Just like us husbands want mom around. Don't you want mom around? Look at you sitting together. I sat with my wife. Look at you sitting over there. There's some more folks sitting over there. And Raymond would love to have her here. I've been praying for that. But anyway, hang in there, Brother Raymond. Hang in there, son. And you see what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about? And there's a brother back there sitting by his wife. Amen, amen. And there's something about that. We'd enjoy that fellowship, that closeness. And we talk over things with one another. God wants that with us. You said, how do you get that out of that? Look what it says. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's right there in your book. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. Every man that loves his wife wants wants the best for her. Really? Amen, amen. Somebody gave us some money the other day, and it was so much of it was supposed to go to my wife. Amen. You said, what'd you do about that? Well, I tried to double it up. Pretty close, wasn't it, Mom, what I gave you? Amen. You said, why is that? Well, I love her. I love her. I want to take care of her. And she'd been having trouble sleeping and all that kind of stuff. And man, that's rough. Whoo! She has sleep apnea bad. Now then, she's trying to get used to that thing sticking in her nose and breathing during the night. She about pulls her hair out in mine too. But anyway, she made it till 3 o'clock this morning with that thing on her snozzle. Hallelujah! You say, how in the world? Why does that make you happy? I'll tell you why it makes her happy. She's in serious. What did they call it? What did that doc call you? Huh? Severe sleep apnea. In a 60-minute time, she stopped breathing 58 times. For just a matter of... And when you have sleep apnea, your lungs don't rest, your heart don't rest, your liver don't rest, your brain don't rest. You get up kind of... You understand what I mean? You say, well, what come that bother you? Because I love her. I want what's best for her. And when you and I, my dear friend, realize that Jesus Christ, he didn't just put them 10 commandments out there, you know, for us to stumble over so he could bang us over the head. He put them in there for his glory and for our good. That's what they're all about. And, you know, you understand what I mean. I can't cover it all. If you want to know about it, I believe that there's some Ten Commandment messages back up, which I'm going to listen to. Amen. All right, so the church, and he wants fellowship with you. Look at John chapter 14. You already know what I'm going to say here. Look at this. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Number one verse. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you know, on the way, you know. Isn't that amazing that God created this whole world, but yet he's got a place for us created for his children. Now, I don't understand what that's like. I'll be honest with you. You really have to get his message on heaven to get to all that. And, but I can't figure all that stuff out. I really can't. What about heaven? What is it like up there? I really don't know. I can get a few things about it. I know there's no crying, no weeping. And, the song the brother just sang, that's true. Praise God. There'll be no more, ain't going to be no more, whatever, bunch of stuff there. And, so he's going to come again and receive us unto himself. Isn't that good? Do you remember when you married that wife? Do you remember that day come? It was marrying day. That was for us. It was November, November the 20th, 1965. You were just kids, wasn't you? And ain't nobody in here but Brother Ken and Raymond that could go back that far. But that was in 1965. I remember that day like it was yesterday. And so on. We didn't have nothing. I had $30 when we got married. 30. I give 15 to the preacher and he took it. I guess he thought we were doing good. But anyway, you understand what I mean? That was a great day. You remember it? You brothers remember that? Remember those days? You remember those days. And you look back at that and you look at the places. I look back at the places where we lived and man alive. you could throw a dog through the wall, much less a cat. And then you know what all the Lord has done, you know, but we had one another. And that's the way it is with Jesus Christ, my dear friend. He's with us through thick and thin. Whether it's good times or it's bad times, he's always there. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, kept by the power of God. So you can't beat that, can you? You just can't beat it. And he wants what's best for us. You understand? Now, if you get that, and I can get that through my thick head, that he's not just walking around with a ball bat ready to knock my brains out any time that I mess up. That ain't the way it is. He's like a loving father. Yeah. He may come to the place where he do like my dad used to tell us boys, and I've told you all these things 10 times. I think about them almost every time. I think I said it to my wife yesterday. And about what dad would tell us boys. We'd bag and bag about something, know it wasn't good for us. And dad said, okay, son, just go ahead and do it and see if I care. He said, that ain't Bible. Did you ever read Revelation? Proverbs 1? Did you ever read in the Bible about God calling and the folks that you're not listening? God will give you what you want. You better be careful about that. All right, but God, a loving Father, and He's a loving Father. He wants fellowship with us. Boy, if this ain't positive, I don't know what kind of message this is. All right, the Bible says in the book of Colossians, and instead of reading all these verses, you understand them. In Colossians over there, he said all things were created by Him and for Him. And there's not anything created that was created. It was made by the Lord for Him. And do you realize that all these things that He created, we're living on them? Yeah. Jim went out west. Any of you go to Grand Canyon? You see that stuff out there in Grand Canyon? You been out Grand Canyon yet? Maybe next year. You stand up on there. I ain't going to stand up around that barn and look down a mile. I ain't going to do it. So I stand way back here in the rails way over yonder. But that's an awesome thing there. And you say, well, what'd God make that for? Well, you could stand there with awe and look up toward Him and say, God, I ain't never seen nothing like this. Wow. And you drive through them places like that, and it's wonderful. Driving across the, coming across 34 Highway in the Piedmont real early this morning, coming across there, and looking over yonder out towards Samabega Park and those gray hills and all like that. You know, you get used to them living out there. But, man, you get away from them like I do for a while, and you look at that and say, wow, man, Mom, this is pretty. Amen. You say, what did you do that for? For you. Amen, 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 amen. He said, really? It was created by Him and for Him, and by Him all things consist. He holds it all together, and He's holding you together. He holds you together, and He holds me together. Isn't that wonderful? We know that God created all things for His pleasure. That's what it said, and I read that a while ago in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Now then, in Malachi, look here what he called. Now, I realize we're dealing with a Jew here, and that's all right. I can fit myself in here, and I'm not. And I still believe that Israel, you know, is Israel, and I believe they're going to get their inheritance back and all that stuff. You ever read one time book of Romans? You know, he ain't done with the Jew, but anyway, I'll not deal with that. All right, look at your Bible in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. You got two different kind of folks here. Look at verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And then the Lord speaking back, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. That's the world out there. And that's a lot of Christians come. I ain't going to call them Christians. Something wrong, people. You can do like your brother said. Well, you know, we've got somebody out of church for 13 or 14 years, live like the devil, and drinking and getting caught, and the police pulling them over and everything else. Well, he's just a carnal Christian. I ain't never met one of them varmints. Somebody in bad shape, some. I'll be honest with you. I believe. I ain't never found that kind of stuff. But anyway, I know that God can slap your face off. I understand that. And I understand He can make you sick and take you out of here. I find that in the Word of God. But you just keep on going, 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 and going, and going. You find the book of Corinthians over there. There's a bunch of wicked folks in that church. And because of what they was doing, some were weak, some were sick, and some were asleep. Pow! But you say, what should I do? Run back to a loving Father. That's what we better do right quick. You say, you mean God can take us out? Yes, He sure can. You read 1 John chapter 5, you'll get it. All right, let's go on. So the book says, Malachi, let's go on here. Now, we've got a little paragraph marking here. Now, watch this. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance, hey, good, thank God, was written. You say, well, boy, I want to get what's coming to me. Well, you probably don't want that, but you say, well, nobody cares. God does what you do. God sees everything. He sees the attitude of your heart and mine and what I'm doing. All right. A book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. Now watch this. They shall be mine. Did you ever hear that before? It's on the old Valentines. We used to trade out at Shady Nook. Be my Valentine. Be mine. Now I'm not for Valentine. That's a mockery, brother, if you want to know the truth. St. Valentine and all that. Did you ever read about Valentine? You ever hear of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre? You just wonder who did that? And you ever wonder, Yeah, you got it. That Roman Catholic Church. And do you realize how what they have done and how they twist things and make it into a so-called holiday and all that other, like St. Patrick's Day? And that's the wearing of the green and a drunken brawling mess. St. Patrick was a street preacher. He'd go out in the hills there, get up on a stump and beat on a drum. And people say, what in the world's going on? People would go out there in the woods and he'd preach about Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Where in the world did you get this stuff? Just read it. Won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. All right. Let me see where I done got sidetracked. All right. They shall be mine. That threw me. Sorry. All right. Be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day. I like that. That day. That's something you ought to study in your Bible. The day. That day. Watch that in your Bible, especially Old Testament. The day or that day. You're going to find it has to do with the coming of the Lord. And anyway, that day when I make up my jewels. Jewels? Now, isn't that something? You said, who in the world could be a jewel of God? Now, I'm going to apply this to you all sitting out there. You said, really? How can you do that? Well, hang on a minute and we'll show you. All right, let's go on. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. Aha. That serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. See it? You see it? Now watch what I was going to say about the jewel. Go to 1 Peter. Over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Where's Peter at? Is that in the Old Testament or New? I like to agitate folk. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at this here. Now watch this stuff down through here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, I'd have done got thrown out of them churches, most of them already tonight, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? About 3/4 of the churches around the country. 3/4? Maybe more like 99%. We'd have been out. The brother, he'd been shot and carried out on a stretcher this morning from what he'd been telling us. All right, as newborn babes, as out in sincere milk of the word, they may grow thereby. If so be, if tasted that the Lord is gracious, have you tasted the Lord is gracious? All right, now watch. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, precious of God, ye also as lively stones. You know what's a diamond called? A stone. Jewels. You say, boy, you mean that's even the New Testament? You should be, I can't imagine. All right, ye also had lively stones, or build up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, sacrificing acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. See all that? See all that down through there? Notice that? And he uses you as a stone. Jesus Christ is the stone, but also he can be a stumbling stone. You know why you're a stumbling stone? You can be a stumbling stone. Positive and negative. Really positive and negative. Negative is live like the devil. And before the Lord slaps you down, somebody sees or hears, and so on. But I want to say something here. You and I, my dear friend, as living stones, Bible says precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head corner, a stone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient, whereupon also they were appointed. And it goes on down that you and I are a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now the positive side, my dear friend, as a precious stone, there's something about that thing, and I ain't got none of them on. These, if you put all this together, it wouldn't be $30. I got this for 20 some odd dollars, 50. How many years we've been married now? 54 years ago. So about 55 years ago, I gave 20 some odd dollars for this white goat. But anyway, so we ain't very well loaded. But on the positive side, my dear friend, you just hang in there and let your light shine and sparkle. There's a negative side even to that. The Bible said, let your light, now put the positive, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Do you ever notice a diamond? Ain't got none. My wife may have one. Praise God. And if you put that thing up, it takes light to make it sparkle. So you and I, to let our light so shine before men, they may see your good works, glorify the Father. There's the positive. Now here's a negative. The same one, my dear friend, that if you shine before men, men's works are evil and they hate the light. Don't give up. Don't despair. If men cuss you and carry on with you, somebody just asked you, and man, I mean to tell you, these guys were beside themselves. They're idiots. And they asked me, said, what would you do in this case? I told them what I'd do, and I did it. And they're just as nice to us as they could be, the ones that we went to that were so sorry. And I mean, them folks are sorry. When they wrote sorry in the dictionary, they got both their pictures in there. But anyway, you say, what are you supposed to do? Overcome evil with good. Why? Because Jesus Christ died and wants our fellowship. And he was ever on every turn. They were trying to catch him in his word. Read your King James Bible. They were trying to, they'd get together, and the smartest of them, and they'd bring up things, try to catch him in his word. And he'd confound them every time. So just pray for wisdom, draw nigh to God, worship him, because he wants to show himself through us to the world. That's about the best I know how to put it. All right. The Lord remembers. You know, I think it was Danny. He and I get on the phone, talk quite a bit on the Bible, and I enjoy that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Now look at what's God grieving here, Jeremiah 2, and you're going to see why. I hadn't thought about it. Danny said, you know, and I just got through Jeremiah. It hadn't been long. I go through Jeremiah and Isaiah quite a bit. All right, look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Now I'm about done here. Watch your Bible now. Hang on. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 1 said, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, go and cry unto the ears of Jerusalem. What had they got to? Had a bunch of wicked devils, man. They were wicked, wicked, wicked. He would even call them Sodom and Egypt. They were living like the devil. Now watch what it says, though. Now watch him. Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. Look, watch the tenderness of God here. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was, see that word, was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruit of his increase, all that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Isn't that something? And he cries out here, thus saith the Lord. This is pitiful. What iniquities have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? You see what he's... They had turned their back on God, and the Lord offered them the good way. You just go another few chapters there, and it says, the old path. He offered them the old path. And they said, we will not walk therein. And the brokenness of God's heart here is shining through when he says, what iniquities have your fathers found in me? I remember the way it was. He wants your fellowship and mine. I'm just telling you things that the Lord has dealt with me on. He says in the book of Matthew 11:28, come unto me. Oh, you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come. He doesn't call out any there. Whatever the need might be, you can come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. That's an invitation. I can't offer you none of that stuff. I can tell you about it right here. It is right here. You go to him. All right, here it is. Go to him. That's what your pastor does. He can't follow you around with an axe and a hammer and a ball bat and a steel-toed boot. What he brings to you is in love. You say, how do you know that? Well, because if he didn't love you, he'd be like, oh, what's it, Rick Warren out there, or that other smooth talker. A bunch of smooth talkers out there fly around in private jets and all that. Well, then we come to conclusion, Matthew 23, and I'm shutting up. Matthew 23, and we'll sit down. Matthew 23, verse 37. Now look at that word starting out that. Look at that verse. What does it say? Oh. Oh. A lot of times we do that. Oh, mama. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Oh, mom. Oh. And if she says, oh, dear, then I know something bad happening. And it's, oh. There's a cry in that word right there. Oh. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. See that? See it? Thou that killest the prophets. Even telling them what they've done. And yet, watch. That's what he does to you and me. He knows our frame. He knows we're just dirt. Do like what Daddy always told us boys. Get dust yourself off, Kenneth. Get up and try it again. Get up, dust yourself off, and try it again. All right. Now watch it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets, stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The invitation wide open there. Do you see it? He tells them what they've done. He tells them what they've done. Said, I've called like a hen. You talk about humble. Jesus likened himself there to a mother hen and chickens. Chicks. That's the little bitty ones. I've watched them. You've heard it lots of times. You've seen it with your own eyes. I've mentioned it here before. We always had chickens. Sure did. And feed the chickens. Mom, she'd have a chicken she wanted killed. And us boys, oh, mercy. And we'd have fried chicken. But that old hen, and I've said this lots of times, this is what I saw as a kid. We had Blucher Peach. Down the road there was Sam and Drib. I'm talking about dogs' names. Bouncer, Harder, and on she go. They'd all make the loop around, see if anybody throwed out anything. There's an old hen out in the yard and have a bunch of little chickens running around. And them old hound dogs walk right up to that old hen. She'd stop everything. She didn't run to the right, didn't run to the left. She'd turk that neck, and those feathers would come out on that neck, and she'd just run at that dog. Them old dogs just jump and run. That's a hen protecting her chicks. They'll die for those chicks. And I've told you about the hog. But when that mother hen give that certain little sound, that mean that there was a hawk flying. And she would make a certain racket, and she'd fluff those wings out, and those little chicks would run up under them wings. Yep. And that's what he said right here. He likened himself to a mother hen. You're his chicks. Chickens. Little chicks. And his wings are offered. If you don't come, danger. Whatever's out there is going to get you. Do you realize the enemy that we have against us? Can you imagine the enemy? He walks about as a roaring lion, it says in 1 Peter 5:8, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And Jesus said, hey, Kenneth, run to me. And he puts out those wings, and I run to him. Amen. Trouble comes, and you say, man, Mom, I don't know what to do in this kind of situation. What are we going to do? And we pray, and God puts him wings out, and here we are. Here we are, still a going. He wants us to run up under them wings. A chicken, I just found this out the other day, a chicken's temperature runs between 104 and 106. That's hot. That's a warm place. Man, that's nice and warm. You say, that's too hot. Not my dear friend when that old devil's breathing down your neck. Get up just as close as you can because his wings are offered. He told Jerusalem, he told Israel, he told his people, and ye would not. That's your move. It's my move. I really want to, my old age, I want to grow closer to him. I'll be honest with you. And I'm not saying that bragging, I ain't. I haven't yet attained what I want. I'm honest with you. I got a long way to go. And I want to be close to the Lord. I want to be faithful to him. I want to shine. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. You know what? Let me just tell you a little bit of something. And I know if you think I'm bragging, that's too bad. I can't help it. We got a new postman in town. Big postman at the post office. It's just open from 8:30 to 11:30. And I've got Fitzpatrick is the man's name. There used to be some Fitzpatricks over in our area. And so I've got to know him quite well. And the Lord really laid it on my heart. His wife been in the hospital and then had to go back into the hospital for another operation, same kind of operation, all kinds of trouble. He's just in his 40s. He's about 40 years old. She's in her late 30s. They got three children. And I just got to thinking, the Lord laid this on my heart. I went to him the other day. I said, now this, you can tell me none of my business, whatever you want to tell me. And I looked him right in the eye. I said, how are you on groceries at the house? And I said, how about, do you need anything? Do you need him, you know? He said, we don't need a thing. He said, Lord's taken care of everything and so on. But I was impressed on the Lord to ask him that. I'm serious. Well, I went in there the other day. I go out by there every day, you know. And he opened his door up. Here's just come in. He can always tell who it is because I'm usually humming, trying to remember that song Mom and Brother sang. I'll sing that tomorrow when we go in there or something. But anyway, and he said, you remember the other day when you come in and said, I said, yeah. He said, boy, he said, I told my wife. And she said, man, she said, that's really something that somebody would care. Someone to care, someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, wipe the tears from your eyes. He's your friend, and he cares for you. Get your dictionary when you get home. 1828, and look up friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. You will be amazed. A line, and you can put a Bible verse. He's a friend. I want to be a friend of folks. I read, brother, one of them old timers, I love to read them, said this the other day. He said, living in your area, wherever you're at, he said, if somebody was your neighbor, would your neighbor call you to come and pray for him or them, whoever, in their time of need? That's quite a thought. Now, just think about it. Yes. Would they? Would they call? Would they call old brother Mac down there? And we're having trouble down here. We got a sick kid or whatever. Would they call? Would they call on you? You said, how in the world can I get to that place? Why, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to thee. He's a friend to sinners. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, I find in your Bible. Read Proverbs, you'll see it. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you very much for your kindness tonight. Thank you for visiting with us here. Thank you, Lord, your Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And Lord, I want to please you and help me to do it more. I need more. I don't need to be bragging, Lord. I ain't what I'm doing here. And Lord, but what you've done and what you're doing. Lord, help me, please, to walk humbly with you. I pray for this church here, Lord, pastor, his family, and Lord, the families here that make up this body. Please, Lord, but it'll be a good light here and keep on shining here in Elsinore in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you.